This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show The Playmakers, aired on WANM FM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. I'm your host, Jay Scott, telling you what's hot, what's not on 90.5 The Flavor Station, and today we are covering a myriad of topics, including FAMU versus Prairie View and the preview against Mississippi Valley State, Georgia Ole Miss game, Alabama LSU, will Colorado make it to the playoffs, we'll switch over to the NFL, are the Lions winning the Super Bowl, are you higher on the Chiefs after the performance against the Broncos, and we'll talk about some NBA. I'm not alone in the studio today, I got some great guys with me. Introduce yourselves, fellas.
What's going on, y'all? It's your favorite boy, it's Country.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, EJ.
What's good with Hood? It's the one and only Jeffrey Hood Jr.
What's going on, y'all? It's Austin Kaysen.
How y'all feeling?
I feel great, man. It's been a minute since I've been here, but
we stole you from the live show.
I was going to say, I haven't been here in a little minute, but it feels great to be back. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I pick a really good week to be here. Country, you know I'm talking to you, but
we should have just kept him on the live show.
We'll who told him to come?
But anyway, I invited myself, actually.
Anyways, we're going to start the show, of course, with FAMU. Coming off of probably our most disappointing loss of the season thus far, dropping a game to Prairie View A&M, 31-12. Just some overall thoughts on the game, fellas.
Terrible loss. Playoff contentions, SWAC championship contentions, that's all out the window. At this rate, we're now trying to be 8-4 and just accept these four losses that we have and be content with a good record, to be honest.
You know, when I think about it, we talked about it last semester or the beginning of the year. Jeff, you actually had us losing four games.
I thought we were going to drop one to Jackson State, which we obviously did, and possibly either Southern or Alabama State. But Prairie View wasn't on my watch list.
And I think Prairie View came after D. Rich went down. It's like all morality went down with the team. You feel me? But at the same time, I still don't think we should have lost that game, even
absolutely
without
not.
D. Rich. Like, Prairie View's not a good team.
No, I hate to be that person. Like, I don't like to blame losses on injuries, but you can't deny that that had a big part of the game.
We were playing
without Kelvin Dean. We were playing without Richardson, obviously our biggest loss on offense. And then Gassett wasn't himself in the second half after he got hurt.
But that's all the offense, though.
The defense has no excuse. We don't give up 30.
Yeah. 31.
I mean, not even that. I mean, a guy named James Burns who looked like Jamar Chase against us, five receptions for 117 yards and a touchdown.
Over 100 yards this season.
And I think, honestly, that pick six that Junior threw, too, kind of threw the momentum off, too. Because once D. Rich went down, it's like, all right, we're down a quarterback. We're still a good team, but that kind of just, like you said, it was deflating.
You know what was really sad? Like, how everybody just kept talking about Junior, like, oh, fam, you did him dirty.
Yeah, at some point, it gets to a point.
When you realize, like, we see why you was on the bench for so long.
There was, like, two or three where he would have a good drive, and then he would close out the drive by just overshooting a receiver. I mean, he had Gassett, and he had somebody else was, I mean, wide open in the end zone. And just three missed opportunities that easily could have switched this whole game around.
Yeah, my thing to the topic of Junior is just, you know, it seemed like it was so close between him and D. Rich, at least from what it sounded like from Coach Cozy going into the season. I feel like this performance right here really just solidifies that, you know, maybe Junior wasn't going to be that guy. For me, it was kind of solidified after the Lincoln game last year when, you know, we went into that game thinking we was going to win by 50-60, and he only put up 28 points.
I think he only played like one half, though.
Junior played the entire game.
Musa played. Another quarterback, too. But
They put the other quarterback in into the fourth.
Yeah.
And then it was a little more of a surprise because I thought our quarterback play this year was going to be really bad. Because, for instance, like, when we went to go get the guy from Miami, from the University of Miami, it was just more so like, okay, so you must not like what you're seeing from your quarterback play. And then Coach Cozy was not trying to tell us who was going to be the starter. So we felt as though, like, this might not be our year. And that's when Jeff said he only got his win in, like, eight games. And now eight game is the ceiling.
Yeah, it's the ceiling.
And we thought we was going to run through the SWAC. Jackson State had different
intentions.
Yeah. And now we are at a SWAC competition.
And we called them crazy for, like, putting us third in the division. But that's exactly where we're sitting right now. But I want to get y'all's thoughts going into this week, because yet again, we come back home off of a big road loss and have to kind of wipe that clean, because although we talk about like they're out of the FCS playoff contention and SWAC contention, they still have a lot to play for. Right? It's technically our senior night, even though it's not our last home game at Bragg. So the seniors have to go out on a high note, and you're protecting one of the longest home streaks in FCS football, period. So going into this game against Mississippi Valley State, who, if you watch their game, they don't go down easy.
Yeah, and they gave Jackson State a fight.
And they're coming off of like a personal type of battle right now with one of their players who died in a car accident last week. So they're going to come in swinging. So what are your thoughts going into this game?
Handle business, remain focused. You know, all of our losses have been on the road, but just take care of business, take care of the task at hand, and just make sure that Bragg, we do not lose, because I don't think they've lost since 2020.
EJ? This is an 0-10 team. Mississippi Valley State doesn't go down easy. Their games are always close. They lost by one to Prairie View. But just given that it's the streak at Bragg, given that, you know, everything that you play for, you're out of SWAC contention now, just don't lose.
Yep.
Yeah, I would just say you got to go into this game understanding that you are the better team. Now it's all about execution. Like, we've shown for the majority of the season that we shouldn't just lay down to defeat at nobody, especially not an 0-10 team. So go out there, execute, and win big.
So are we actually out of contention for SWAC?
Yes, we're good, Chad.
SWAC contention is over.
It's done, so it is none.
Let's just go win the classic.
Oh, because they only got two more games left.
The only thing we can do is hopefully get, which is a long shot, a bid for the FCS playoffs, but I'm not going to lie. I don't even know if I really want to see us there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're getting put as probably the lowest seed going in against one of the top seeds. All right, we're going to move on to a rainy one in Oxford, Mississippi. Them dogs, man, they got put to work. Some thoughts on the games, fellas?
Carson Beck, I don't know what to say.
Go ahead,
I don't know where his quarterback abilities, his powers, like, did they all leave in T-Town and Tuscaloosa when he lost? Because ever since that game, he's been bad. Going 20 for 31 passing completions for 186 yards and an interception. He's not good. Like,
he ain't look like all that in Tuscaloosa either.
He didn't.
I'm just saying, Austin, he didn't.
Like, I don't even understand what people getting from him. Like, he has not looked good all year. Carson Beck has looked like a mediocre quarterback playing on a great team.
He's bad.
So he's really bad.
You're not going to give any credit to the Ole Miss defense? Because I think they played stellar.
No. No, because here's the thing. You can give credit to the Ole Miss defense.
I'll give credit to Ole Miss defensive line. Now, they showed up.
I was about to say, I mean,
not the secondary, but the defensive line, Walter Nolan and the crew, they got pressure.
After the opening series, they recorded 5 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, 4 forced fumbles, and an interception. I mean, that's some quality defense, fellas.
That's some quality defense that allowed LSU's offense to score 29.
We're not talking about LSU, right?
But no, what I'm saying is Carson Beck is supposed to be the best quarterback in the nation. Am I right or am I wrong?
I'm not saying he is,
but consensus has been saying Carson Beck has been QB1.
Yeah.
That's what consensus has been saying all year. So now let's talk about it. You feel me? When you are Georgia, you got all the talent in the world and you only able to muster 10 points with that team, is a slap to the face with Kirby Smart.
And it wasn't like Ole Miss was doing anything crazy. They kicked five field goals. Like,
Ole Miss did not do nothing special.
Yeah.
And I think the big thing that comes out to me is the Georgia wide receiver group. You have Cash Jones, the running back, having 20, the longest reception was 29 yards, and that's a running back. The wide receivers were not there. I mean, like I said, I remember Country, I told you, I said Georgia has never had a real go-getter wide receiver, not tight end, but wide receiver. It's been a minute,
I'm not going to lie, this Georgia team all in general has underperformed all year. Like, you might look at that Texas game, you like, yeah, they actually played good. They actually played good that game.
Carson Beck threw some scaries, if you watch. That's what I'm saying.
It was a time when it looked like Texas was coming back. So it's like this Georgia team has not played a complete game all year. Even the game against Bama, they should have won that game.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you had all the momentum. You had everything going for you. And then it's like you just lose it in a snap of your finger. I don't know. It's not the same Georgia team that Kirby Smart has had in recent history. It just looks like a shell of what they used to be.
So looking forward, how do you think that they're going to fare when they play Tennessee?
So that Tennessee game is going to decide whether or not they make it to the college football playoffs. Yeah. As long I don't know if everybody knows that, but that's the consensus right now.
You're not losing three games.
You're not because one, you would drop three games in the SEC, and right now the SEC race is very tight. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like, honestly, Georgia would have been out if LSU had beat Alabama on Saturday.
Yep.
Because now you would only had two 1-loss teams in the SEC. Three 1-loss teams in the SEC, including it would have been Texas, LSU, and Texas A&M. But by LSU losing, it still gives Georgia the opportunity to make it to the SEC championship.
Even from a rivalry standpoint, I don't think the last time that Tennessee beat Georgia was the Hail Mary by Josh Dobbs, I want to say. Correct me if I'm wrong. Because Hendon Hooker didn't beat Georgia.
No.
So then, yes.
The only, since 2020, Georgia's only lost to Alabama.
Yeah.
That's literally been their only loss.
So, and Georgia has home field advantage, so this is a must-win game for them. This is the make or break of their season. But sticking in the SEC, we're talking about the Tigers.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. At home, in Death Valley.
Mm-mm-mm.
Title town. Came to town.
Hardest place to play in college football, right?
I'm gonna say it like this.
Cause it looked like the COVID season by the third quarter.
It did. Really by the second quarter, because
really,
that's when
really with the fans, really like the COVID game.
That's what I'm talking about.
My thing is, how do you allow four quarterback rushing touchdowns?
We did it last year.
Get that man to Heisman.
Yeah, but I say he had it last year.
He had it last year too.
Back to back games.
Alabama is not throwing a passing touchdown against us since 2022.
Yeah, man,
it's
Heisman.
That's insane, right?
You said Heisman. Yeah. Excuse me?
Huh? Start talking about it again.
Start? No, it's over, buddy.
Let's start talking about
it's
it again.
Over.
Oh, it's over.
It's over? Yes, up. It's over. Milroe is not even in my thoughts.
My question, does it make you guys look at Brian Kelly any different now?
No. So here's the issue with Brian Kelly, and I'm gonna talk to him about it. Brian Kelly is banking on this recruiting class that he got coming in,
yeah,
with Bryce Underwood leading the way.
Isn't he like
the number one consensus player
he been rumored to like maybe have some Michigan?
Yeah, because he's from Michigan,
and Michigan's been trying to throw him like stupid money for him to come. But
has there been any like traction with that? Or
nah, it's not going anywhere. That's why they keep trying to up the pricing. But he said he's set on with LSU, and he doesn't plan on going anywhere. And the thing that really is so much crazy about it is, Brian Kelly didn't do what a lot of people thought he was going to do this year, like, and really work the transfer portal. You feel me?
Yeah.
We had some pieces that we really needed, especially in the secondary, because our secondary has been getting roasted. And for some odd reason.
But they're young though, right?
They're very young. They're very young. So it's like you can see the positive that we're going to see like coming in for the future. But as of right now, we needed that secondary play. You feel me? And since we lost Harold Perkins, our defense has been playing stout defense, but we cannot stop design QB runs. And that's been our Achilles heel. Like, we had Texas A&M by the throat through the whole entire game. Pause. Let me change that up. We had Texas A&M on a tight rope. Like, they had no motion at all in the offense. They switch quarterbacks, run the quarterback come in, our defense looked like a shell of itself.
Shout out to Marcel.
So is that
Reed,
more
that
of, a,
Nashville.
Of a scheme issue than it is just actual play?
Because
I mean, I think if you're playing like a quarterback, right? If I'm going to a game against Jalen Milroe,
mm-hmm,
and I've seen the things, I know I have issues in the secondary, and I see the things that he's doing, pushing the ball downfield, having explosive plays, I'm going to walk my safeties down, or sorry, put my safeties back in coverage, but... That's
so
the problem is
our safeties are bad at tackling.
Yeah, I mean,
and
horrendous.
Like, if you see Major Burns or you see Gilbert, like, their reads are very, like, what are you doing? You feel me?
Excuse me.
And they just are really bad tacklers.
Yeah.
And it's been shown all season, especially when we play against running quarterback. Like, when you see the game against South Carolina, we could not stop, Sellers. We couldn't stop Sellers. Until if he didn't get injured, we would have lost the game to South Carolina, because we cannot stop design quarterback runs. And that's in all because the loss of Harold Perkins, who was the spy for stopping QB runs.
Yeah.
That's just so like heartbreaking to watch as a fan too. Just it's like you can see the QB run coming from a mile away, but they just, because I mean, y'all have seen mobile quarterbacks kill Bama for
for a decade
almost. Yeah, like Cam
Newton, Johnny Manziel.
Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Jaden Daniels, when we talk about mobile quarterbacks, like when it comes to certain teams, it's just been their Achilles heel. I don't know what Georgia does to shut mobile quarterbacks down, but Kirby Smart need to let people know how he be doing that. But you seen Texas A&M, they go from, oh, they look like they about to be the best team in the SEC.
Kirby Smart.
Huh?
He said, ask Kirby Smart.
Yeah, how he stopped mobile quarterbacks.
He ain't been able to stop Jalen Milroe.
He kind of had him on a containment, but it's better than what we did. Jalen Milroe has rushed for over 500 yards and 8 touchdowns in 2 games against LSU.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's insane.
All right, fellas, for our last topic on college football, we're going to talk about Colorado and their win against Texas Tech. Now, there is a growing consensus that they actually have a legitimate shot to the college football playoffs.
They do.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule. They play Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma State. They're going either 2-1 or 3-0.
So what are the key games we need to win there?
They need to win these first two, Utah and Kansas.
Yeah.
I think they're going to beat Oklahoma State convincingly, but they need to take care of business with these first two games.
And then Kansas is starting to find their footing, too. So they actually looking like the team we thought that they was going to be this year. I would like to say this, right? Let me formally apologize to Coach Prime, Jeff, and
Mike. What are you
apologizing
me for? I thought they wasn't going to make it. You only apologized to Coach Prime and Mike, not me.
Yeah. So, because here's the thing, right? Mike said they was going to win the division.
Well, Mike just doesn't know.
And we called Mike crazy.
But then when you look at it, they are right here in play to win the Big 12. And
all without having to play BYU, too.
I don't even think BYU is as good as we giving them.
Really? They looked really good against Utah.
They look good against who?
That last fourth quarter?
You talking about the fourth quarter where Utah on that same drive had 5 penalties on fourth down that kept their drive going.
That's fair.
That's what we talking about. they had them sacked in the end zone. What they had, defensive holding Utah. They had them sacked, pass interference, Utah, illegal hands to the face. Like, Utah literally gave that game away. So if we being honest, I'm actually happy for Coach Prime. It's been rumors that he might be leaving Colorado.
I don't know if he gets Julian Lewis correct.
He got him.
If he gets him, he's not leaving.
But the thing is,
I saw rumors.
I don't know. I saw rumors.
I
seen the Cowboys, but I also seen Florida State as well too. I also seen Florida State as well.
It doesn't seem like Norvell's going to go anywhere.
They lost their offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator.
You think Prime would step down as a head coach of the Colorado?
No. I think after this year is over, as much as we don't want to admit it, Mike Norvell is gone after this year.
Gotta be.
Like, as a Florida State fan, it's no way you're telling me you could recover from this.
They just paid him all that money.
It doesn't matter.
And they don't have no reinforcements coming in. They lost all the reinforcements, basically.
Like, their recruiting class, they right now outside the top 25 in recruiting.
Might be out of top 50, let's be honest.
Right, let's be honest, because they just lost 2 of their biggest recruits, dropped out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be trying to either.
Like, if we talking about a cultural aspect, it's no way Florida State can keep Mike Norvell in office. Because that would be single-handedly the dumbest thing you could do, especially the way Miami is going up. You have to.
Yeah, it's time to refresh.
What I will say is that when you see a coach fire like their position coaches and bring in some new staff, that's at least you give an indicator for one more year. They want to give you to see what you can do.
AJ, let's be for real. What has Mike Norvell done since he's been at FSU?
Not much. I've never been big on Mike Norvell at FSU.
Like, we take away that 13-1 season that
he
had last year.
Which contributed to a Keon Coleman and a Jordan Travis.
Besides that, what has he done since 2019 to now at FSU?
Beat LSU. No, I'm playing.
I mean, he did. You remember? I'm not disagreeing with that. But I'm just saying, he has not shown that he's capable of winning.
But back on the Colorado note, though, hey, they make it. They could win one game.
If they could win one game,
they still have to win their conference. But then, once they come in, I gotta see how they pair it up. Because
they could win one game.
Because after conference championship play, the seeding is not based off a ranking. It's based off the champions' algorithm.
So you got the top 4 seeds belong to the highest.
The champions of the division.
So they will be at number 4. So they will put Colorado at number 4. If the season ends today, Colorado will be at number 4. Number one will be somebody coming at it. No, will be Oregon. Oregon will be number one currently. Number two will be
the SEC champion.
The SEC champion. Number three will be the ACC championship. It might flip flop for two and three, depending on how it goes. But right now, since Miami lost, it kind of looked bad.
Okay, yeah. So
and then number four will be the Big 12. And if we being honest, I think it's gonna go just like this: Oregon, Texas, Miami, Colorado.
Ooh, Deion versus Miami.
Okay, so I'm looking at it right now. They have projected BYU winning. But let's say, for instance, let's just say Colorado wins. They play the winner of Ohio State and Boise State.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Miami versus Colorado.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Okay, Ohio State, Boise State. Yeah.
I don't have Boise State winning. Yeah, I don't have that either. But like, if things do kind of change,
and it would be a major turnaround. Wait, from last year.
We talking about right now, but I don't think it's gonna be Boise State. I think it's gonna be Army.
I mean, Army still gonna get smoked out by Ohio State.
But let's put some respect on Army name that they will make that college football playoff.
They're
a
good shot. Yeah, they do.
They're undefeated.
Wait, so y'all in favor of Colorado being BYU for the conference?
Yeah.
As of right now,
the way Colorado is looking, they're looking like a dominant team. Like,
they're
we only
up steam at the right time.
I swear I only had Colorado winning five games this year.
I had like six, seven.
I had them making a bowl game, but not like this.
Man, like, I feel so. I ain't got nothing to say. It's just apologies at this point. I admit when I'm wrong, you feel me?
Switching over to the NFL, the Detroit Lions snuck out a close win against the Houston Texans. Now, do the Lions have a legit shot at the Super Bowl?
I would say yes. They have a shot for sure. Like, if you were to say they don't have a shot, I mean, they have the best record in the NFC. Yes, they have a shot. Now, would I go put some money down on that? I don't think I would.
What's stopping you?
The 49ers.
I would say, yeah.
The 49ers.
Oh, and wait a minute.
Why are we
jump to the 49ers?
No. So I'm saying it like this, right? So 49ers, by them getting C-Mac back, was kind of like a big thing. Like, let's talk about it.
They won by three.
Absolutely. You know that, man. Once he gets back right, he's going to get the ball 30 times a game.
30 times a game.
Nothing you can do about it.
And that 49ers defense definitely travels. But, again, the Detroit Lions, I feel as though they're right now my favorite to go to the Super Bowl coming out the NFC. Like, I can't disagree with that because they are playing great football, actually. Yeah. So I do think that they got a chance. Anybody that makes it to the playoffs besides the Dallas Cowboys has a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Y'all not making the playoffs.
I didn't say we was. I said anybody that
I just want to remind you.
Okay. thank you, Austin.
Of course.
Just let me know how the Tennessee Titans are doing as well.
Hey, we're going to be at the same place when the offseason starts.
And that's all that matters.
And we're going to have a whole lot more cap space. We have way lower expectations.
And Tony Pollard been looking solid, too. I'm not mad at Tony Pollard.
Anyways.
We're not talking about the Cowboys right now.
We're talking about the Lions. Just got to remind you, just for context,
but go ahead.
They yielded a 24-7 lead to the Niners last year and just a few plays away from being in the same position that we're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. So what going forward has been like the Lions' turnaround? Like, what has gotten them to this point? And do you think they can get over the hump in the NFC Championship?
I think
Jared Goff's play has been great.
Yes,
not yesterday.
Not yesterday.
I'm just saying throughout the season overall. Yeah.
Compared to last season, yes.
But I would also say, too, even with not Jared Goff, but just their entire team, like Dan Campbell has had these guys like really stepping up and finishing games.
I think that they're from my opinion, I think that's the most well-coached football team in the NFL.
Most definitely.
No doubt.
I'm talking about from offense and defensive standpoint. Like, their offense is very creative. Their defense flies around. Like, they're young. They're athletic. They're talented. And they all play as one unit. You feel me? And everybody understands what everybody's role is. And they don't try to force anything that's not there. And they are finishing games. Because they could have easily just let things go down when they was losing to Houston. You feel me? Houston didn't even score a single touchdown or even got into the red zone in the second half. Like, C.J. Stroud finished the second half with a QBR of one. So that tells you how much pressure that defense put on him.
Yeah.
Especially losing Aiden Hutchinson.
Come on.
Still play like that.
And they still playing like this.
Yeah, and, you know, they just they'll add Za'Darius Smith to the lineup next week. Yeah, things might be a little bit scary in Detroit.
They're a Super Bowl contender for sure, but like I said, it's gonna be matchup wise. It's gonna be who they see, who they face off against in the playoffs. There's certain teams I think could give them trouble. I think my Eagles definitely could be a team. I think a fully healthy 49ers team as well. And then also just matchup. I think the Packers can give them a run for their money too.
Absolutely. Never want to see a team three times.
That is true.
Yeah. So you try to avoid that as much as you can.
Yeah, so it's going to come down to matchups when they get into playoffs.
Well, speaking of Super Bowl, last year's Super Bowl champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, they got some black magic going on in Kansas City. I don't know what's going on. If it's like, y'all seen the whole conspiracy about the hole next to the stadium?
No, explain that. I've never.
So there's this thing online, and they have, it's either like a construction site or something. When they were building Arrowhead Stadium, there's like a hole next to the stadium, and there's a joke that they like do human sacrifices or something. And like they throw them into the hole, and that's how they've been able to like succeed the last few seasons. Yeah. Look it up. It's a thing.
I've never heard of that.
But, you know, are we really sold on the Chiefs this year?
Before I say, are we sold? I keep saying Bo Nix is him. And y'all was clouding me.
Hold on.
Y'all been clouding me.
We said this.
Me and EJ been saying this. And y'all kept clouding us. But now when Bo Nix put on front page, it's like.
No one want to say nothing.
Nobody say nothing now.
I would say this.
He can ball, man.
He can't. Bo Nix is doing his thing. Can't even disrespect him on that. But if we being honest, the Chiefs have been a couple of plays away from being 3-6 right now.
They keep squeezing by. They're going to get caught by somebody.
It was the same thing last year, too, though. That's the craziest thing.
No, last year was the drop balls. This time, it's just they're getting caught.
Yeah, because, again, week one against the Ravens, toe. Week two against the Bengals, the flukest pass interference penalty I've ever seen in my life.
The Falcons.
I don't even understand that what that was about. The Chargers just let that game go.
Broncos block kick.
The Raiders should have lost. The Buccaneers just couldn't stop their offense in overtime. So I don't know. They've been a couple of plays away from being 3-6 right now, and we'd be having a totally different conversation. But I don't know. It's just something about Andy Reid's magic, and it just every time we think it's not going to prevail, it just keeps prevailing.
I don't know. I'm looking at these games coming up. They play the Texans, the Steelers, and the Bills this week. They play the Bills this week. Actually, I don't think they squeeze by the Bills. They either win convincingly or they flat out lose.
At the end of the day, it's always going to be the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Like, that is true, though.
It's always going to be the Chiefs.
As long as you have 15 lined up across from you, there's anything.
I know this isn't his best season either, but they find ways to win games. That's the only thing I can't say about them.
Good teams find a way to win.
Yeah, the defense has stepped up though for them rather than the offense. It's really the defense that's really carrying this load.
Yes.
And they got some superstars on their team that wear zebra stripes. So, you know, that's been helping them out a lot, too.
That is true, too.
Absolutely. And another thing, though, I'll give them some credit. As much as I hate on the team, they always find a way to peak late, and that's just like a recipe for good things to happen. Seems like, you know what I'm saying? Even though I say that the first game of the season against Baltimore went well, they did have a couple of rocky performances. Like EJ said, Mahomes is not his greatest season yet so far, but they always tend to find to play their best football when it gets cold outside.
Hey, Oz, I got a question to ask you, right? You said they start peaking later, right?
Yes.
Do you feel as though like they peaking too early right now?
I don't think they're playing that good of football.
Yeah, after they peaked, yeah.
Yeah, I think they just
They're not playing that good of football. Like, I would say the Detroit Lions have a genuine possibility that they could peak too early. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like at points they are kind of playing out of their minds. Like, they're, you know, just doing everything almost too well too early. So that kind of concerns me for them. Like, it could really fall downhill.
Yeah, they're clicking on all cylinders.
Right.
It's scary to see that, because once teams start figuring them out.
Yeah. It's like how, I mean, we saw last night how they responded to adversity, so I can't even say that, but.
All right, fellas, going into our, probably one of my favorite things, because, well, EJ and Mike had probably the best records this week, into our some of our quick picks for week 11 of NFL. All right, so Commanders-Eagles.
Ooh.
This is tough, man.
Battle for first place.
Are you marking this down, Jeff?
I'm marking this down as we speak.
Y'all can go ahead and say y'all answers first.
Oh, man, this is tough. Country, go first. I don't know who.
Because I'm not going to lie. The Commander's defense just, it didn't.
I'm gonna be real with you. I think the hype on the Commanders is starting to die down. I do believe it. Like last week, I did want to bet against the Commanders too, but you know, I still battle with them because I feel as though they still playing good football, and I'm always gonna root for my LSU guy. But I'm going with the Eagles.
I'm also going with the Eagles.
Austin, Eagles. All right.
This hurts. I'm gonna go at the Eagles, but the Commanders play some good ball.
They are.
It hurts.
It hurts. Yeah, you know why it hurts.
Don't you know why it hurts? Because my guy Jalen Hurts. You know who I'm going with. Let's go.
Brother.
So everybody
yeah,
with the Eagles.
I'm gonna go clean sleep with the Eagles.
All right.
All right. Raiders, Dolphins. EJ, we know your answer.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with the Dolphins. They got a good win last night against the Rams.
I think
the momentum picks back up.
Do I hear people hopping on the hype train?
No, I'm not hopping on the Dolphins hype train. They're
playing the Raiders.
They're getting ready for the draft.
The hype train is just like that. What's it called? That Dr. Pepper commercial. The hype train is over.
The Dolphins could actually make the playoffs, though.
They're getting ready for the draft.
The AFC, y'all talk about the NFC South. The AFC West is
hilariously
bad.
The AFC is like the East in NBA.
It is.
My fault.
Just because your team is in the West.
That's a great comparison, but my fault. Right.
Anyways, I'm going to go Dolphins here. Austin, you?
Yeah, I want the Dolphins. Shouldn't even be a question.
Okay.
I'm going with the Dolphins as well.
Browns and Saints.
This is a bad game.
Just give me the Saints.
Saints picked it up last week, though.
I'm going with the Saints.
Saints. I think the loss of the Panthers was just the second time playing, and the Panthers knew a couple things. I think the Saints are a good team. Fully healthy.
What?
I think the Saints are a good team fully healthy. They got some
The
injuries.
Saints don't even think they're a good team fully healthy.
They're a solid team, bro. Just
cut it out.
Just to go back to EJ, he's not lying. They're only two games out of the last playoff spot at 3-6.
Hey, what, with the Dolphins?
The Dolphins,
he's not lying. They actually have a legit shot at the playoffs. So I'm gonna go Browns here.
Oh, okay. I had you down for the Saints, but okay.
Hey, he want edit next week.
Yeah, I guess you want to edit.
Go ahead.
Jameis Winston finna throw 5 interceptions to his old team.
Nah, Jameis Winston going to throw 5 interceptions, 5 touchdowns. Watch.
They boo. All right, Colts, Jets.
I'm going to go with the Jets.
Hey, yeah, I'm going with the Jets. They sold me last week, but I'm going with the Jets.
I got the Jets.
I
got
to pull a G. Who home?
Jets.
He said, I got to pull a G. Who home?
I didn't realize what he just said. Yes, the Jets are playing at home.
I'm still going to go. I'm going to go with the Colts on this one.
I'm going to go Jets.
Stop.
It's their defense. Their defense doesn't look the same without
that
Robert
That quarterback
Sala.
Play is disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Oh, no, they got me back there.
Definitely.
All right, Vikings, Titans.
Vikes. Austin,
Vikings.
Don't do that.
There's no question. Respectfully, Austin, there's Austin, no question.
Don't shut up, Austin.
What are you thinking over there?
No, I ain't thinking. I was just wanting to know, do I want to be disrespectful or just
I ain't gonna lie, Austin been on your head.
Right, you feel me? Why is this even why are we even having a conversation about the Titans?
Nah, we need to put this one. Make sure that this is on the graphic for the week. I want the Titans.
Okay.
And I'm gonna tell y'all, any given Sunday,
just because you live show don't mean you can't edit the podcast.
Yeah. Just know.
Just letting you know that.
Just letting you know. Letting you know, sure.
And I stand 10 toes down behind my Tennessee Titans. Let's go.
Bet that.
Tighten up.
Rivalry game here. Packers-Bears.
Give me the Packers.
Packers. The Bears ain't been the same since the Hail Mary by Jaden.
Yeah, I'm
with y'all. They must have crushed them or something.
Go Pack, go.
Yeah, I'm going to go Packers. All right, Jaguars-Lions.
Yeah,
Lions across the board?
Yeah.
There's no mic here, so nobody wants to be different.
No, we're not different.
I will say, though. I wouldn't be surprised if it's upset. I'm picking the Lions, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Jaguars do
Why
something.
Why do you say that?
Yeah, okay, so the Jaguars can make an upset in this game, but we can't win. Right? Like, why are we talking about the Titans?
I'm only going based off last game with the Lions. Jared Goff, I don't know how he's going to play mentally, throwing 5 interceptions in the game. That's something to look out for. I think if Matt Jones starts again, the team looks different on offense.
I can't lie to you. If I throw 5 picks and win, I might go out the next week and just start throwing. Like, I'm gonna come out throwing.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how they're going to look, but I got the line still.
All right, Rams-Patriots.
Rams.
Rams need a bounce back game.
Give me the Patriots.
Oh, okay. We got a mic for today.
The Patriots. What did they do this week? They lost to...
The Patriots won, I think. Yeah, they beat the Bears. Yeah,
they're coming off of a win, and the Rams need a bounce back game. So actually, I'm going to go Patriots here, too.
I like the Rams. Their receivers are good.
Yeah, but the Rams aren't the Bears. The Rams are actually a solid team. And it, like I said, in their division, being so close, they need to win.
Okay, yeah, no, you're right. All right, I'm going to go Rams then.
Oh, you switched. Okay,
yeah, I ain't going
to lie. The Patriots don't need to win.
No, EJ's very convincing. All right, Ravens Steelers. I'm waiting on this.
Ooh. I'm going LaMarvelous. I got to go LaMarvelous.
The game is in Pittsburgh, if that matters. LaMarvelous.
That's my G.
That's why I'm going with the Steelers.
Austin?
Oh, it's on me.
Yeah.
I got the Ravens.
EJ?
I'm going to go Ravens.
Yeah, I'm going to go Ravens here.
Sounds on
me. I don't know if I can really bet against Lamar yet.
I'm not betting against Lamar. I'm betting against history. They always split it.
No, he's right.
Does anyone know what happened to Alex Highsmith? I saw him get hurt during the game. I don't know if it's like season ending or anything like that.
I haven't heard anything. Yeah. I haven't got word.
Mm-hmm. Seahawks, Niners.
Bang, bang, man. That's all I'm going to say.
Y'all already played in Seattle?
Man, we put belts in Seattle.
I was saying y'all already played in Seattle, right? I was the last year. Yeah, 49ers.
With no CMC.
Let me get it for
it. And it was in Seattle, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I like the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm going to take the 49ers.
Yeah. I want to hate so bad, but yeah.
Yeah, I know you do.
All right, Broncos and Falcons.
Give me the Broncos.
This is a tough one.
This is a really underrated game.
Austin Kaysen is going with the Broncos.
This is sneaky, but I'm going with the Broncos, man. Bo Nix showed up. I'm still trusting
you. Atlanta drops back-to-back?
I'm going to say Bo Nix.
Bo Nix been balling. He on my fantasy team. He getting me dubs. I'm riding with my man, so I'm going Bo.
Bo Nix, he's solid. He's going to have a solid game, but the Falcons can't afford to lose either.
Can't. I'm going to go Falcons. All right, we're moving on. Chiefs and Bills.
Give me Buffalo.
Game of the week.
It's in Buffalo, correct?
Okay, I did my research. Side caveat, I did my research. The pit that I was referring to is a Bills tradition, not the Chiefs, but it still applies because they're playing each other this week.
And it's in Buffalo, correct?
It's in Buffalo.
Give me the Bills.
I'm going to go Bills. I don't think the Chiefs are sneaking out of this one.
I'm going to go Bills.
Which we just said, don't bet against 15, but like.
I'm nervous, but I'm going to go Bills. What about you, Austin?
I'm going to take the Chiefs. I'm not going to lie. The Chiefs been owning them.
All right, Bengals, Chargers.
I like the Bengals. I like what they showed me this week against the Ravens.
Give me the Bengals.
Country, didn't you say Justin Herbert was bad?
I
feel like we're thinking too hard on
this. I say Justin Herbert overrated.
I'm going Bengals. So everybody's Bengals?
I feel like we're thinking too hard on this.
Hey, and speaking of that, Country, I turned on
Bengals. I'm going Bengals.
I had turned on Pat McAfee yesterday, speaking of Country's point. They had Jim Harbaugh. That's the Chargers coach, Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. He was on Pat McAfee's show, and he's talking about Justin Herbert is already one of the greatest of all time.
I mean, he's got to say that. That's his key. Yeah,
anyways, one of the greatest of all time. Like,
that's my brother. What are you talking about?
You could say he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league. Nah, he took it there.
He said of all time or in the league right now?
No, I swear he said greatest. He's one of the greatest of all time. And he said he had some stats to back it up, but didn't list them, of course.
He's been playing good, though. I mean, the greatest of all time. Like,
let's cut that out.
The Chargers are 6-3. Not all time, but if you said in the league, I couldn't disagree with that.
I'm not crazy against it, but in the league right now. But yeah, go ahead.
Last game. Texans and Cowboys.
It's in Dallas?
Y'all know who I got.
Yeah, it's in Dallas, but I'm going with the Texans.
Give me Houston.
So everybody Houston.
Houston. Yeah.
That was a no-brainer for me.
All right, great.
And right now, the Cowboys are kind of like being in shambles of themselves. Michael Parsons got beef with Mike McCarthy. Jerry Jones got beef with Jerry Jones.
I need that reality show at this rate, man. Yeah.
I forgot, what was the quote where you said, like, can I get some blinds by the stadium?
CeeDee Lamb had said
Yeah, that. It was CeeDee Lamb. Yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah, we just going to tear down, rebuild the whole
stadium.
Yeah,
Jerry Jones had, like, some sarcastic answer. I'm just like, they're not going to be good until he's gone.
Yeah, we know that. That's why I told Bree, don't even worry about it no more. Like,
let's get some hoops, man. Yeah. Let's talk about the Bad News Bears. Let's get some hoops, fellas.
All right, so.
Bad news is an understatement. With sad news.
With the recently named NBA Cup now coming around the corner here, what are some of the thoughts on the sleeper teams and winning the NBA Cup?
So my sleeper team, right, is coming out the West. It was the Pelicans, but they have so many injuries. It's like a book. So that's not them anymore. I got the Houston Rockets.
It's not surprising.
Jeff, this
Houston
is,
Rockets are playing great ball.
This is the sleeper teams, Jeff, not your, who's your favorite team.
This is my sleeper. Nobody's really going to expect them to come out their bracket. Nobody's expecting that.
Give me the Kings as my sleeper out of that group.
Why is it up?
just in terms of from top to bottom, I mean, we obviously have Minnesota on the top. Clippers, Trailblazers. I mean, I could see where you're coming from with the Rockets, but I just think as a complete team, with a lot of expectations going into it, I think the Kings out of that.
We're in West A right now. We have Minnesota, the Clippers, the Kings, and Portland. Now, we know Portland's not going to be on anything.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about the Timberwolves. Are they going to be good? And I think we have a legitimate shot as well as the Kings.
To Jeff's point, I'm going with the Clippers.
All right. So you see.
I'm serious, bro.
To Jeff's point, I'm going with Minnesota. Like, they're
sleeper.
Sleeper.
That's a favorite.
That's,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Are we just talking about West Group A?
We're going through all the groups, but like, all right, let's talk about who we think is going to win it and who's the sleeper out of that.
Okay, so West A, my winner is Minnesota, sleeper is the Rockets.
Okay, my winner would be Minnesota, but my sleeper would be the Kings.
My winner is the Clippers. My sleeper is the Clippers.
My winner is Minnesota. My sleeper is Sacramento.
Okay.
Yeah, I got the Minnesota Timberwolves winning this, but I do actually see like a legitimate chance for the Clippers to go ahead and win this division.
Thank you, Austin.
All right, for the West B, we got the Thunder, Suns, Lakers, Jazz, and Spurs.
This is a toss up.
Yeah. I can go ahead. I can start this because I think.
Oh yeah, there's no Chet. There's no Chet. From Chet's out 6 to 8 weeks.
There's no centers.
Yeah, there's no center. Point blank. Yeah, period.
I got the Lakers. Go ahead.
That's what I was trying to figure out. What y'all talking about? Chet's out.
Win or sleep?
Yeah. No, win. I got the winning.
I got the
winning. Sleeper
is the Suns.
To Jeff's point.
You think sleeper's the
No centers. I think Wimby and them might go ahead and mess around and do something.
That's what I was with Spurs and my sleeper.
I like the Spurs as my sleeper.
Yeah, I got the Spurs as my sleeper Spurs too. My winner is definitely LA. But now I can put OKC as a sleeper because it's like since Chet is out for so long, people are not going to expect us to win.
Wait, AD not out for the year for the eye injury he got?
Come on, man.
He got poked in his eye.
Hey, bro, we cut out them AD, whatever you call it.
Yeah,
bro.
AD secured my joint a couple weeks ago. He secured for me.
So maybe I'm just missing something. Or why are we not talking about the Suns out of this group?
I said the Suns is my sleeper.
KD's injured right now, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he is. That's what I'm saying. I didn't know that.
I don't like the backcourt duo of Bradley Beal and Devin Booker.
KD being out, it does make a huge difference.
But Ryan Dunn's been playing great though as a rookie.
Nah, it's like that's cool and all, but the thing is, that team is at this point centered around Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, like I said, and that's like having a peanut butter and
peanut butter and bread. Like
it's not even that. It's like having peanut butter and like never mind.
Yeah, just stop.
All right, arguably one of the most competitive groups out of all the Cup tournament. The West Group C, we have the Nuggets, the Mavs, the Pelicans, the Golden State Warriors, and the Grizzlies.
I still got the Warriors coming
this
out.
This is good because the Warriors are, 8-2 right now? Yeah. And nobody expected to be 8-2 10 games in the NBA season.
And we'll get to that.
But then also, too, Ja Morant, his injuries have been playing their season all year.
I like Dallas, though. Somebody's telling me Dallas is going to
Dallas has not played as a full team all year.
That's my sleeper, though.
I know, but I'm rocking with Dallas. Something
Clay,
is telling
Clay me. Clay, yeah, Clay is shooting his lights out right now. So Clay's playing like how he's supposed to be.
You're taking Dallas as the winner or
yes,
the sleeper?
Yes, Dallas is the winner. Sleeper is going to be the Warriors because the Nuggets look not like the Nuggets.
No.
My sleeper is the Mavericks, but my winner is going to be the Warriors.
My winner is the Warriors. My sleeper is Minnesota, Memphis.
I'm gonna go winner, Warriors, sleeper. Low key sleeper the Nuggets.
I don't care about none of that, bro.
It's
I got
not
the
a bad sleeper.
I don't care about none of that. I got the Grizzlies winning this group. Y'all can call them your sleeper and winner. Y'all can call them whatever you want to call them, but I got the Memphis Grizzlies winning this group.
All right, moving over to the East in Group A, we got the Knicks, Magic, Sixers, Nets, and Hornets. I think my winner out of this group is, honestly, I'm not sure. But it's either between the Magic or the Knicks.
Embiid is back, man. Embiid's back. Maxi might be back probably after the second or third game in the NBA Cup. Jerry McCain, you know, dude.
We might as well just straight pick winners in the East because the East sucks.
I'm going to go with Philly, though. My winner.
Philly's your winner?
Philly's my winner. Sixers my sleep. Not Sixers. Knicks are my sleeper.
Okay. Everybody's a sleeper in the East. Yeah, so let's just be for real.
We can just pick winners.
Like, I wonder what happened. Like, what? Why is the East so weak now?
The East has always been like that.
It's small markets.
Small markets. Yeah, there's a lot of small markets in there as well.
When you got so many teams in LA, Texas, even Louisiana, it's not a major market, but it's still bigger than most of the markets in the East. So all the big time free agents are always going to the West. All
right, who's your winner out of the coupe?
I'm gonna tell you who my winner is out of just the East in general, Boston. I think
we're all in agreement on that part.
Yeah, but like, who's your winner out of the group?
Out of group A, give me the Knicks.
I'll go with the Knicks too.
Awesome. I'll take Philly. You know Embiid know how to play in a regular season.
All right. out of Group B, we have the Bucks, Pacers.
This got to be Heat, the worst.
Toronto
ever
and Detroit. Yeah, it's probably the worst group. And this hurts. To say
I'm
that.
Taking the field. I don't know who's gonna win,
bro. What is this group, bro?
What you mean? You'll see that team, the red team, right there.
No, we don't. There's three red teams actually.
They got the white ring around them. They
that
got
can
the,
be
the,
two teams.
That's
yellow,
two teams
they
now.
They got the yellow flame. At the top,
I guess the Heat.
I guess the Heat, but
the Pacers Heat. Might be my sleeper. But I
sleeper.
Guess the Heat.
All they're, these they teams have the, are bro, sleepers.
They have the best record in the group, and they are 5-5. Yeah. Everybody in this group is either 500 or below. This group is god awful.
You know what? Give me a sleeper of no kind. I go better. I could win. I could become a rich man parlay off of this one team. Give me the sleeper being the Detroit Pistons.
All right,
you
next
heard
group.
Everybody went quiet. With
next group.
Like, that was crazy.
Next group.
But yeah, anyway, my sleeper, my winner, I'm going to go with the Heat.
I'm going to say sleeper is the Bucks actually, and my winner is going to be the Heat.
You think the Bucks pick it back up?
Yeah,
I don't think they like playing with each other. I don't think they do.
Yeah, but this is the group where it's like, this group is so bad, it's the time to pick it up. Like, this is who you're going to be playing. This is the time to turn it around.
I'm with EJ. I got the Bucks winning, or he didn't say the Bucks was going to win, but I got the Bucks winning this group. It's very ugly, but I think they'll win.
All right, out of Group C, we have the Celtics, the Cavs, the Bulls, the Hawks, and the Wizards.
Why didn't they just put the Cavs in Group B? Like,
Group C is pretty thick if you look at it.
Yeah, like, this is the best. These are basically the best teams in what's it called?
In the East, right now.
So, honestly, my winner is Boston, but my sleeper is the Cavs. Like, it's not really.
Sleeper at 10-0.
Yeah, sleeper at 10-0 is kind of crazy. You know what? I switch it up.
Excuse me, 12-0.
12-0, my bad. I think both the Cavs and the Boston could easily win it. So, I don't really got no sleepers coming out of here.
No, because the Bulls, the Hawks, and the Wizards are terrible.
Terrible.
The Hawks
will give you a fight for your money, but the Wizards and the Bulls, man, they trying to fight for that number one overall pick. Group B is the Cooper Flag group.
That's crazy.
Some of them, not all of them.
Nah, all of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, especially that team in the middle, Miami Heat. Yeah, they definitely in the running for a Cooper Flag.
All right,
the Thunder turn around and now he want to start talking crazy. That's crazy, man.
I'm not talking crazy. I'm just being honest.
All right, well, speaking of talking about rookies, out of all the rookies this season, who has impressed you the most?
So the rookie that I've been watching all season, and, you know, people on Halftime with the Playmakers, the live show, the Playmakers, everybody was trashing his name in college while he was winning National Player of the Year after National Player of the Year. He fell to us at the Grizzlies. Come on, Zachary Edey. Hey, let's give him a round of applause.
That's what I've been the most impressed with. Y'all said his game wasn't going to translate.
Give him a round of applause.
Yeah, y'all told me his game wouldn't translate and the NBA centers were locking that up, but it's not. He out here in the NBA and y'all said he had no bag. He's shooting 60% from three.
I would give him a round of applause. That's a little.
Yeah, that's a little far.
Nah, a little bit of ashy knees, but nah. All
right.
I was going to say, at least for these five games I've seen and I've watched, I was going to say, you know, it's only right. Jared McCain, no.
For those who are just listening in, you know, Jeff is twirling his hair and kicking his feet in the background.
No, like
cheesing while he's doing it.
He's averaging 14.4 points per game, shooting 40% from three. He had to fill roles because you know Tyrese Maxey's injured. Joel Embiid has not played a game yet, and for
he's
a rookie,
well.
That's a lot to ask from a rookie. That's a lot.
Country,
Zach Edey.
Oh, you agreed with them.
We bashed him like five months ago.
And y'all looking crazy. I'm like, his game can translate.
Yeah, exactly. And not to mention, not just that his game has translated, it's like he stepped into our team and like really like filled a niche on the team. Like, good pick and roll guy. Yeah.
He's making Jared Jackson
absolutely like create space.
Like his offensive game is now being more polished because he doesn't have to worry so much on the defensive side now. And it's like now you got JJ being able to play a full game without worrying about foul trouble.
Absolutely, yeah.
So Zach Edey has made the quickest transition into college. I say college, from college to the NBA. I didn't think his game was going to translate. I definitely was one of those people saying the Grizzlies made a dumb decision by picking Zach Edey. I can admit that. But
what's Donovan Clingan been doing?
Nothing.
Yeah, I really
same want, as a Pulling Trail Blazers.
I'm not
nothing.
Gonna lie. Yeah, I wanted him, but I'm happy we got Edey Clingan, the center out of UConn.
No, I know. I was joking.
I was hype.
All right, and for our final topic, I think this has been a surprise team. No one really expected them to do this well this season. The Warriors sitting at 8-2. Are we buying stock on them going on throughout the season?
I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not either.
You think they're off to a hot start?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Why do you say that?
It's just one of those starts that you just get when the season starts, especially for a veteran team like them. But when the season starts digressing, We'll see how they play, especially with Steph Curry. You know, he gets his injuries, and
he's getting up there.
Yeah, a lot of them are. We losing a lot of our legends, but yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of like, you know, they're 10 games into the season. That's like we being in week two of the NFL season. I still think it's really, really, really early, even though we have played a full 10 games. It seems like a lot, but yeah, I just don't think they're going to get it done. Steph's only averaging 22. Buddy Hield started off the season really well, but his numbers are going down. I think it's only a matter of time before the rough West schedule kind of catches up to them.
They remind me of the Saints right now. Like how the Saints got off to a high...
Fraudulent later?
Yeah, like how the Saints got off to a really high start, and then out of nowhere, it's like they hit the rock hit the fan.
Yeah, that's true. I think they're on a nice stretch right now, but Curry's prone to always have an injury come up here and there. So, I mean, if I'm a Warriors fan, I would be hyped, but I wouldn't be too hyped to be like, yeah, we're going to make it to the semis or the conference finals.
Because that West is still deep.
I don't know. Warriors, I think they're a solid team. Buying stock, though, it's too early to buy stock on them. But I think looking at their schedule, like, you know, when they start playing the West teams, it can get a little tough. But I have to acknowledge that they did look good when they did play OKC.
Yeah, and Boston. They look great against Boston, too.
So I can't deny those games. So I think it's just too early, but I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I think midseason, we revisit this, I might buy stock on them.
So what do you think their ceiling is?
Playing.
You still think they're a playoff team? I think they can get the playoffs.
I think they can get the 5-6.
They're not making 5-6.
I see them as like a 7-6.
I don't think Denver is going to be still sluggish right now as the season progresses. I don't think that either.
I do.
I don't.
But is it about Denver being sluggish? Or is they can just keep consistency?
I don't think they will. It's a lot of old bodies on that team. And Steph's already missed 3 games.
Yeah, injuries could catch up to them.
That's what I'm saying. And I don't think Draymond is going to play more than like 60.
And I don't think the Mavs will be tied for 10th or 11th place right now.
Have y'all seen the West standings versus
I'm looking
the
at it
East
right
standings?
Now.
So
yeah, we know, no, bro. Leave the East alone.
We're aware.
We understand, bro.
It's pretty bad.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
We got it, okay?
So you telling me the 11th worst team in the West would be the third best team in the East?
I told you, man. The East is bad.
Who is the 11th worst team?
The 11 word team in the is right now San Antonio.
Oh, jeez. All right.
And, I mean, I'm telling you, too.
And they will be the third seed in the East right now.
And this is why I got a team in the West and the East.
What?
Anyways, come on, Jalen.
All right, that concludes this episode. Now on to our favorite parts of the show, the shout-outs. First, I just want to shout out my parents. I want to shout out my little sister. Keep doing big things in school. Shout out God, man. And shout out Jeff. Let me host today's episode, working the new board.
All right, I just want to give a shout out to God. I just want to give a shout out to the guys in the studio. I want to give a shout out to Austin for not being too much of a, you know, And shouts out to the gang. It's always good doing a show with y'all. Welcome back to me, because I didn't have the worst record on the podcast this week. So
yeah, no more editing. Yeah,
no more editing.
You tied for the worst record.
Hey, you worry
about that. He's not editing though. He got that whip percentage.
I didn't need to make that clear.
Hey, listen, you worry about the wrong thing.
I think that's important. Shout out to my Lord and Savior. And you know what? He not here, but shout out to G. I don't know how many days it is.
Nah, facts.
But shout out to G, man.
First and foremost, thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shout out to the guys in the studio. Duke basketball plays tonight against Kentucky, so shout out Duke. Shout out to WANM for the new board. About time we need a new board. Yeah. So shout out Terrence Ward as well. And let's keep being great, fellas.
This man has never been on Duke's campus in his life, bro.
Actually, I have. All right. Exactly.
Anyway, yeah, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior for allowing me to be here today and doing all these great things. I'd like to thank the guys in the studio for allowing me to pull up, because, you know, I don't usually be here. Shout out to the guys on the live show, too. Make sure y'all tune in to the Playmakers on 90.5, 12:30 to 2 p.m. Eastern time on Saturdays. Make sure y'all do that. Shout out to the family, especially mom and dad. Yeah, appreciate you for listening, too.
Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.